class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on December 21, 1980 in Mumbai, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 6.
The material misery of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Translation with repetition. The material misery of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead. This statement suggests that the complete unit of the personality of Godhead includes his parts and parcels also. He saw, therefore, his different energies, namely the internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. He also saw his different plenary portions and the parts of plenary portions, namely his different incarnations also. And he specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls, who are bewildered by the external energy. And at last he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely the process of devotional service. It is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing or chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth. Thus, in the purport on text 6, by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Anarto pasamang sakshat bhakti yoga madhoksaje lokasya janato vidvan chakre satut samhitam anartho nivritti, or the destruction of the obstacles and unwanted things which have accumulated in our heart, is necessary to come to the platform of nishtha, bhajan, kriya, or fixed devotional service. Rupa Goswami has described that there are 8 levels of advancement in devotional service in the conditioned state. This begins with Shraddha, further progresses with association with devotees, Sadhu Sangha, Satsanga, and further increases by Anartha Nivritti Bhajana Kriya, by performing devotional service and eradicating the unwanted obstacles. So immediately, when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master, he will discard so many unarthas, unwanted things, like attachment from meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication. And beyond that, so many other types of unwanted things, anarthas, are to be destroyed. Mahaprabhu has said the same thing, chetadarpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni vapanam bhava davaha bhava davanala, means bhava davagni, same thing, forest fire. Dava means forest. So in a forest, there are so many creatures living. Deers, snakes, rats, bears, tigers, rhinoceros, elephants. When this forest catches on fire, then all the animals flee because they are afraid to become burned to death. And under such a circumstance, the animals become mad, pagal, crazy, running here and there everywhere, trying to find an avenue for escape. Sometimes they run in the fire and they perish. Sometimes they escape. In Vrindavana, when the forest fire came, after Krishna killed the Kaliya serpent, all of the residents of Vrindavan, where did they run? Where did they run from that forest fire? This we should know. Pran Govinda, you know where they ran? Where did they run? They all ran to Krishna and Balaram. Oh Krishna, oh Balaram, you are our only shelter. Can the sleepy people stand up in the back? I don't want to disturb the rest. Dadi Thakurna. Got about a dozen people here crashed out. They can just stand in the back. Dadi Thakurna teaching. They all ran to Krishna and Balaram, please. You are only shelter. We are simply taking shelter of you. This was their plea. So what did Krishna do? He devoured the whole forest fire. For Krishna, the biggest danger is nothing. Insignificant. So, we are faced with so many difficulties in material life. And we are thinking how to solve these problems. And we are overwhelmed by the concept how to overcome these difficulties. Just like an animal in the forest fire, he's overwhelmed. He's mad. Which way to go? Where to turn? Where is the safe place? But for Krishna, there's no such difficulty. He can easily, you see, remove all the difficulties. So why do we recommend, or why does the scripture recommend taking shelter of bhakti yoga? Because bhakti yoga is not different from Krishna. Bhakti yoga means connection with Krishna. Therefore, immediately one is saved from so many anarthas, so many unwanted, unnecessary dangers and fears. They disappear. Just like in the dark, we're going into a dark room and we're trying to find the light, and suddenly we put our foot on some furry thing and we go, "Oh, what is that?" And then finally the light comes on, you see. But we see that it's nothing. Someone has left their furry glove on the floor, you see. And we stepped on. We thought maybe it was a rat or some animal. Because we are in ignorance, therefore everything is potential danger. Everything is fearful. But when we are connected with Krishna, Iha yasya hire dasye karmana manasa gira nikala swasti vasta su jivan mukta su uchite, we are liberated from all these dangers. We're situated in a transcendental position. Mamcha yoga babichani na bhakti yoga in sevate shagunan samatitta itanam avaya kalpate. We bind these three modes when we fully dedicate ourselves to Krishna's service. So the goal is to come to fixed devotional service. That comes by throwing oneself into the process of bhakti yoga. But what is the process of bhakti? This we should understand. What is the process of bhakti yoga? Brahmando brahmite kono bhagyavan ji guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lothabij. We are wandering about in this material world from universe to universe. Somehow or another we come in contact with the guru. That is by Krishna's mercy, because Krishna is in our heart as the super soul. He brings us to the pure devotee guru. And by guru is planting the seed. You see, he's giving the seed of devotion to that devotee. And the devotee, he takes the seed. And he plants it. Mali hoya se bij kore aropan. Sravana kirtana jale karaye seichan. And he waters that seed. He waters that root of the seed with sravana kirtana jale, the waters of hearing, chanting, and ninefolded devotional service. So one has to get the seed of devotion. That seed is in the form of the order of the spiritual master. To chant so many rounds, to perform certain devotional services. In so many ways, the spiritual master gives the process and gives specific instruction. This is a seed of devotion. In the form of the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. That is watered by hearing and chanting. Daily. Daily hearing and chanting. Mali hoya se bij kore aropan. Sravana kirtana jale koraye seichan. Upojiya bare bhavando beri jai Dhiroja brahmaloka parabhyau Dhiroja parabhyau ma beri pabhyau Parabhyau vapai. The Mali or devotee, we say Mali means gardener. So the devotee has become a gardener of his bhakti lota. So he takes that divine spiritual tree and he puts water of hearing, chanting, and devotional service on that plant. So what does the plant do? It begins to grow. And grow, and grow, and grow, and grow. How does it vary? How does it increase? It increases right to the very boundary. To the very boundary of this material universe. You see, that is known as Brahma. That is, this universe is known as Brahmanda. 14 planetary systems. In each universe there is one Brahma. So therefore this is known as Brahmanda. You see. So Brahmanda Vedija, it breaks through this Brahmanda. Viroja, Brahmalok Vedi, it goes beyond the causal ocean. Beyond the Brahma Jyoti Parabhyompa, it gets to the Vaikuntha Lokas. Paveta Jaita Rupari Goloka Vrindavan, it goes beyond the Vaikuntha Lokas to Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna Charan Kalpa Vikshe Kare Arohan. It takes shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Those lotus feet are Kalpa Vriksha, all fulfilling desire trees of transcendental, eternal, blissful knowledge. Taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, what happens? Tavistarita hoye prame phale prema phal. The lota, the tree, begins to expand in all directions, and flowers and fruits of love of God start to come out. You see. There, in that spiritual world, iha, iha seche nitya sarvanadi jal. And here, the devotee, he continues, iha mali seche nitya sarvanadi jal, daily hearing, chanting, remembering, serving all the Navavida bhakti, ninefolded devotional service. Headed by hearing and chanting. With those waters, he continues daily watering. This is not very hard to understand. You plant a tree, the tree is growing, the tree, when it begins to expand, finally it takes good shelter, you see, then it starts to produce flowers and fruits. But those fruits are not yet ripe. Those fruits are kacha. Those fruits are green, unripened fruits. But they are starting to, you see, grow and become more luxurious and more ripe day by day. But there are certain things one has to watch out, because the root of this tree is still situated in the material world, you see, in the heart of the devotee. Until the fruits are fully ripened, you see, until the fruits are fully ripened, the roots are coming down from the material world, from that devotee. Yari Vaishnava Paraduti Hati Matha. Jadi Vaishnava Paraduti Hati Matha. Upare Bachinde Tar Chuki Jai Pata. But if there's offense to a Vaishnava, to a pure devotee, you see, then that devotional creeper is destroyed, just like a mad elephant entering into the village. Very recently, in the area of my zone, North Bengal and Assam, there was a mad elephant that is known as rogue. Rogue elephant is very dangerous. The rogue elephant will strike and kill human beings. They'll go and destroy crops, tear down houses and whole villages, you see. They are very dangerous. So there was one such rogue elephant, you see. Somehow some human being treats them badly, offends them in some way, and then they start to take vengeance, and they start to destroy humankind. So there was this one rogue elephant recently, and suddenly in the middle of the night he would go and tear down all the grass huts and stomp on the people, crushing them and tearing down the whole village, and he'd run off. And they're complaining to the government, you must do something to protect our lives from this rogue, you see. So the government, they send out special sikaris, hunters to kill, but they could not get near this elephant. He was very clever. Whenever they came, he would go away. Finally, they took the most experienced hunter and the superintendent of police, actually the district, the DIG, Deputy Inspector General. He himself decided to go out with him, and they raised big bamboo platforms, you see. And so they went, and the day after they erected the bamboo platform, the elephant came and tore them down and ran off. They had not yet gone there. So then again they rebuilt them some other place. They were studying how the elephant was moving, because he was very difficult to catch. So they studied his movements, and they found that one particular village he repeatedly came back to. So then again this time they erected those big, you see, bamboo structures. And they waited and waited. Finally at 2 o'clock at night, the elephant came, and they were able to shoot him. You see. These rogue elephants are very dangerous. You see. Because they're 10 feet high, they're weighing about 4 or 5 tons and more. You see, they can easily smash down vehicles or cars or houses without much difficulty. So in our spiritual garden, you see, we do not have such superintendent of police and also professional hunters. Neither there is any kind of weapon for shooting down the elephant, you see. Rather, the system is that one has to protect, you see. One has to protect his garden by simply building a very tall fence, a very tall wall that no man elephant enters within. Aparada hasti jaiche nahaya udgav. Jatna kore vale khoray avaran. The devotee builds this wall so that such elephants of aparad don't come. In other words, the devotee is very careful that no such offense to Guru Vaishnava, to Nam, to Shastra can enter within his garden of bhakti. Otherwise, one's devotional keeper becomes destroyed. This is very important. Mahabhu also gave instructions that one has to watch out from weeds. Kabe jadi uposaka. What's that noise? If there are upasaka, these upasaka or weeds, they take the strength from the original branch, the original devotional keeper. Seshe jala paya, upasaka veri jai, stabda hoya, mula saka vari te na paya. You see. Getting the waters of chanting and hearing, the weeds grow, but the original tree remains. Jari upasaka ute. Bhakti, mukti, bhancha, upasaka jatogan. Ashankata likha. That there's material desire, liberation, so many kinds of desires which can come up in the mind, you see. They are unlimited in their varieties and kinds. Nishidacha kutinati jivahim san lava puja pratistadi jatupusasaga. Mahaprabhu has explained to Rupa Goswami six principal type of weeds we have to be careful of. First one is nishidachar, forbidden activity. Those activities which are forbidden by the Vedas. Just like the four regulative principles, all these type of forbidden acts, if they are performed, those create desires. These are all upasakas or weeds. Nishidacha kutinati. Kutinati means to be deceitful, to be deceptive and hypocritical or diplomatic in one's devotional dealings. Just like Prabhupada said, don't take water under water on a fast day. Meaning, say there's a fast day. One has to do pura upavas. But he goes to the bath and the river and he takes a dip. Naturally, when he's taking a dip, nobody's watching under water. He can take a drink and come up and maintain his whole fast without taking water, but actually he's taking water underwater on a fast day. So Prabhupada said, don't take water underwater on a fast day. Because Krishna is watching. Amongst God brothers, disciple to guru, one may be able to superficially, you see, make some temporary deception. Even that super soul reveals to the other parties in a very short time. But nobody can, you see, even for a moment, deceive Krishna. So if someone is trying to, you see, make some type of show, at the same time his mind is somewhere else, and so all these subsequent cover-up tactics and deceitful and different things, to reach whatever is his desired object. All these things are kutinati. And this kutinati is another type of weed. Then there's jiva hinsan. Sometimes a devotee may want to simply cause pain to others. Either by actual homicide, by killing, or by injury, or by mental torture. One is feeling bad, someone does something, rubs the wrong way, say something and cut him deep in the heart and rub it in. Make some wound and then rub salt on it, you see. Then one feels very satisfied. I got back my vengeance, you see. All these type of activities are different forms of jiva hinsan. You see, enviousness and cruelty to others. These are always avoided, you see. They are dangerous weeds. Even to be callous when someone is suffering is a type of jiva hinsan. If we can do something to alleviate someone's pain, and we do not do something, that is also jiva hinsa. Then lab, puja, pratistadi, these three are brothers and sisters. Profit, worship, adoration, and distinction and power. To desire some personal profit in exchange for my service to Guru and Krishna, let me get something in return, some material benefit. That is known as lobh. We should never serve Krishna or the Guru with some idea that in exchange I should get some material benefit. That will stop our devotional keeper from going to Krishna. Instead, yes, we'll get that material thing, but we won't get Krishna. Prabhupada was one day giving a lecture, if you want to serve Krishna and have nice sense gratification, nice fame, you want to have a good material situation, then you'll get that, but you won't get Krishna. You won't get Krishna. If you want Krishna, then you cannot desire all these things. You must simply desire to please Krishna. That is known as anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karma navritam. That is known as pure devotional service. Lab, puja, we want to be worshipped. My God brother is being worshipped. Why are not I being worshipped? I should also be worshipped. I'm as good as he is. I should be worshipped. Why? My guru is being worshipped. I should also become, you see, worshipped, even in his presence. Or I should get some special distinction. You see, my name should be in lights. I should be a famous movie star. You see, my name should be in all the newspapers. All these things are contaminated by puja. The devotee simply serves Krishna. Whatever honor distinction comes, whatever infamy and badnam or criticism comes, he accepts as Krishna's mercy. Maan or pamaan, whether fame or infamy, the devotee is simply fixed in serving Krishna. A pratistadi to increase one's dominion. You see, I must be distinct. I have to have, you see, so many material acquisitions, material positions, independent of devotional desire. These things are pratista. So Mahabhu advises, Pratame upasaka khorai chedan. Sabe mul saka bari jaya brindavan. First, cut the weeds. Cut the weeds. Then the original plan of bhakti goes to Golok Vrindavan. Preme phala pakya pore. Maliya Swadoya, you see. Then that devotional fruit ripens, falls down, and the Mali, the devotee, he consumes that with great transcendental joy. Suke. Prema phala rasa mali aswadoi. Great joy, you see, taste that nectar of Krishna bhakti. So, all these things are attainable simply by connection with devotional service. Simply by the connection with devotional service. But we have to follow what is the system. We connect with devotional service. But we're still, you see, nourishing so many weeds. We are committing so many offenses. How will our devotional keeper grow? How will our devotional keeper grow? We have to be very careful to be expert gardeners, to always protect our devotional keeper. This is the warning and the instruction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami for all of us. Lord Chaitanya has come down here simply to give mercy to his devotees. In fact, his deity has come here also. We are serving the deity of Gaur-Nitai. His deity is not different from himself. Just like when Gauridas Pandit had special deities, you see, made of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya Nityananda were the dear friends of Gauridas Pandit. They were going to leave. He said, no, no, you don't leave. You please stay. I said, how can we stay here? We have to go and see so many other devotees. All right, at least you let me make one deity of both of you. You see, Gauridas Pandit was Subal Sakha in Krishna Lila. So they said that, how is it possible? We are coming here in form of devotees. You will worship our deity. This is not very good. You see. No, no, but who will I speak with? Who will I offer my bhog to? Who will I discuss with? All these things. I cannot just be left here alone. At least you must leave me with some deities. So they agreed finally, and he went to Navadvip, and there they got some neem wood brought down, and exactly, you see, in the presence of Nitai Gaur, two deities were carved. When these deities were finished, then Lord Chaitanya Devan said, all right, now we are going. These deities are not different from us, so you take these and worship, and we will receive. So Gauridas Pandit said, yes, yes, these deities are not different, so let the deities go, you stay. They're not different, so you let the deities go and you stay. You stay. So then Lord Chaitanya said, all right. And he stood and he became just wooden. And the deities began moving and they walked off. Then Gauridas Pandit, he said, no, 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 no. He ran after those walking forms, Chaitanya Nitai. No, no, you stay. Let those go. He wanted a moving set, not the immovable set. So then Lord Chaitanya said, all right, he stood, the other set became immovable and then walked away. Again, Gauridas said, no, 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 you stay, let him go. Let the deities go, they're not just, all right. Again, he became deity and the other set became like moving Chaitanya. Again, going. So finally, Gauridas Pandit fell down and said, all right, you win, what can I do? So then he installed those deities, you see, and he was worshipping wonderfully. One day he went off for preaching, and his disciple, Hridayananda Das, he decided that it would be very nice to celebrate a festival, you see, for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Gaur Purnima was coming. Guru has been gone out preaching for some time, let me make one festival. So he told all the local villagers, you bring dal, you bring rice, you bring all kinds of sweets, you bring sugar, you bring gur, you bring different type of milk, chana, we'll make one huge feast and a big sankirtan, offer everything to Nitai Gaur. So all the villagers became excited and they went back to the village and they began to prepare, you see, to bring all the different offerings. In the meantime, Gauridas Pandit came back and he saw a few people coming with offerings. He said, what's going on? They said that, well, we're going to put on a big festival. We're going to put on a festival. I thought we would put on a festival. He said, what? You didn't ask me? You're just going ahead and doing festival without taking permission from Guru? How can you do something without the permission of your Guru? He became very externally angry. Of course, with the service desire, he was inside somewhat pleased. But disciples should never do anything independent of order of Guru. You see? Disciple independent of order of Guru is dead. No life. Like a tree cut off from the root. So, Hridayananda was feeling great anxiety. So he said, whatever is your order, I have to do. And he went to the Ganga and he was just chanting japa. In the meantime, this boatload of so much milk, rice, everything was coming. Cart load, bullock cart, they're all bringing head load. Huge mountain of provisions started to accumulate. It would all go bad. He called back. Hridayananda said, all right, you go do your utsav. Hridayananda was overjoyed. He got Guru's order, then he did. Of course, he never went against the order. You see. But he did not have permission. When he was instructed, he followed. But when he got the order, immediately he then continued with his festival. You see. Which was all in the service of spiritual master. We got a huge sankirtan first. All the local people were jumping and dancing in the coal and kartal. About 8 madrangas were playing and over 32 kartals. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And they're jumping and jumping. Just at that time, Nithai Gaur ran outside from the temple and ran into the sankirtan. Hariva, Hariva. And started to jump and chant. Meantime, Gauridas Pandit was bringing the offering into the temple. He put the offering down and looked up. Nithai Gaur, Nithai Gaur, they're gone! They're gone! Nithai Gaur, they're gone! Where did they go? He ran out looking everywhere. Where are the deities? The deities have disappeared. Who has stolen the deities? Someone has stolen the deities! The deities have been stolen! He ran out. He looked everywhere. There he saw Nithai Gaur. He could realize everything. They ran out and they joined the Sankirtan party. They were jumping with the devotees. No one could see them, but Gauridas Pandit. He became very disturbed that this time they may go off with the Sankirtan like they went once before and never come back. Completely absorbed in his mood as Sobal Saki picked up his stick and he ran after, Nithai Gaur, you right now get back in the temple! Immediately right now you get back in the temple! Nithai Gaur, seeing your friend coming in that mood, Lord Chaitanya became so fearful that he hid inside the heart of Hridayananda. From that moment Hridayananda was known as Hridoy Chaitanya. Gauridas Pandit, you cannot hide in the heart of my disciple, you get back in the temple. Don't try to cheat me again and leave me alone. Your prasad is waiting. So then they ran back in the temple and they stood. Gauridas Pandit closed the door and offered them prasad. I said, you don't, whatever you do, you see, cheat me again like this and run off, how will I live without you? His mood was of course all pure love. You see. So in this way, they were having their daily pastime serving Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. So we should also be very careful, you see, to satisfy the Lord so they don't also run off. They can do that. So Lord Chaitanya has come down here anyway to benedict all of us. Now we should go and greet them at the Singha Arti and take the lotus feet dust on our heads. Thank you.